Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to The Bigger Picture with myself and Michael Rakir. If you're not familiar with Michael's work or you're new to the show, I have lots of interviews here with Michael. But get over to his website, josephspeaks.com. And that's pretty much where we're going today. This is going to be a spiritual show. Thus, we call it The Bigger Picture. We can't just always look at what's happening on the ground. It's always nice to know what's happening out there, too. So good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Maria. Great to be back with you.
It's always good to have you back on the show. I got to tell you, I'm enjoying your Facebook page.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm sharing some of your memes from there on my sites as well.
Some of the quotes that we put on there, yeah.
Right. I wanted to start the show off. I got an interesting question for you from one of my listeners.
Okay.
She said, why are humans different races? What was the purpose? She goes into more in the question, but I don't know, you know, I don't know how much you can remember, because she also asked, what effect does the mixing of races have on our human experience? Because she said throughout
his...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Sorry, what does the what mixing of races...
What does the mixing of races have on our human experience? What effect?
Right.
Because she said through history, everybody wants to keep their races pure. So she's confused.
Yeah. I mean, we are all the same. If you strip away the races and you strip away the way that we look, we are all the same being. We are all the same type of being. We are an angelic being. However, the area in which you live and the background from which you come from presents you with different opportunities to grow. Different cultures and different viewpoints affect the way that you look at the world and you look at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so certain challenges arise from being part of a particular race. I mean, the physical characteristics that differentiate the different races are purely to do, in my view, with the characteristics of the landscape that those races have developed into. Certain challenges come from certain lives, certain races, and so we can be born into the, or should be born into the, as part of the race that provides us with the greatest opportunity to grow according to what we need to learn to evolve spiritually at any time.
Well, that totally makes sense, but you could say the same thing about our sexuality and any other specific choice that we make.
You know, absolutely.
Right.
There are different divisions within our life experience that allow us to grow. There's the race that we're born into. There's the sex that we're born into. There's the society that we're born into. There are the circumstances that we're born into. There are the parents that we're born to. There are the life choices that we make, the career choices that we make. It's all a gigantic machine to allow us to evolve spiritually if we make the right moves.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to make the right moves. We have to seek. We have to address the challenges in the right way, spiritually.
Right.
And we have to grow from those challenges so that when we reach the end of our lives, which is the beginning of our spiritual life again, we will have achieved something. We'll have moved up. We will have enhanced and enriched and refined our spiritual vibration so that we can perceive and be part of a different reality, a reality that is more refined, a reality that is closer to God and closer to our original angelic intent.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've often felt, too, that people pick their astrology, too. So it looks like a lot of work goes into preparing your blueprint before you come down here.
Absolutely. And all this work to prepare our blueprint as an individual progressing soul, because we've chosen to come back. That's the core problem. We've chosen to come back. And so before we come back, our destiny is not laid out, but the signposts are laid out so that we can evolve to maximum effect if we rise to the challenges correctly. But we don't have to do any of that if we don't choose to come back here.
Exactly.
And you look at the state of the world and you wonder why any soul would want to come back here.
That's for sure.
I'd pulled back.
I know a lot of souls right now that are sorry they came here in the first place.
Yes. It wasn't quite the trip we thought it was going to be.
Oh, it's a trip, all right. A bad one.
It is a bad trip.
You know, you look at, and you especially have talked so much about mass consciousness. So many other people have too, so many great spiritual leaders and so forth. But sometimes I wonder if it's mass consciousness or mass hallucination.
Well, the whole thing, the whole of reality, in inverted commas, is illusion. But it's a mass illusion that we have created. Just as we create the illusions, i.e. the temporary projections, that exist beyond this physical earth in the spiritual realms. What you've said is very important, because we have to realize that we create this world. It's no use saying, you know, it's not my fault. The mess that we're in is nothing to do with me. It's everything to do with you and with me and with everyone you meet, because we are contributing second by second in what we believe to be true to this reality. And that's the key to getting us out of our current problems. The key to getting us out of our current problems is to realize that if we visualize and believe in and put light into the world we want, not the world we see, we've already created that, but the world we want, if we do that en masse, then we create that world and things change.
Right.
And that message has come across for millennia, but we choose to ignore it. We look outside our window and say, that is reality. Well, yes, it is, for a time. It's the reality that we have chosen to create. We believe that the world will operate in a certain way, and we create a world that operates in the way that we choose it to operate, choose to see it operating. So we have to change our mind. We have to literally change our mind and go from the head mind to the heart mind in our meditations and send out light, but also visualize that world that we want. If we want a peaceful world, we have to see it. If we want the leaders of our countries to be peaceful and loving and giving and humane, we have to see it in them. We have to bring it out of them. We have to surround them with that love and that light that changes them. Anything else is only a short-term solution, as we've seen through history.
Right.
We seem to be heading for another short-term solution. And we've got to say to ourselves one day, whether it's today or tomorrow or in 1,000 years, enough. We're going to change this. Enough. We're not going to kill today.
Right.
Enough. We're not going to harm anybody today. We have to create the world we want. And because we're spiritual beings, we can't change the world that we see outside materially. We have to change it at core first. We have to change it spiritually. We have to put that time in, and we have to fight the good fight, and we have to send out the light. Otherwise, things will never, ever change. And history proves to us that things will never, ever change. We think that we get periods of peace, but we really don't. We might have peace for 10 years or 20 years, and then violence breaks out again.
Right.
War breaks out again. Inhumanity to man's inhumanity to man breaks out again. We've got to change that.
Well,
and we,
especially now.
Sorry?
Especially these
Absolutely.
Days. Right.
Absolutely.
I mean, I have to tell you, Michael, it's very difficult for me, but I do it. It's very difficult for me to want to send the light out to the people that are in power around the world. Because, you know, the human side of us, you know, we'd rather see them dead than figure Absolutely. Whether they're going to change or not. But I do recall reading, I believe in From Here to Infinity, that if one person sends out the light, it has a domino effect.
Absolutely. And that one person sending out the light is equal to thousands of people who are pouring darkness into the field of human consciousness. That's the power that we have as angelic beings. The darker side of things is temporary. It is an illusion. It's something that we've created. Our true nature is to be a being of light, light that changes things. So when we wield the light, we have to sort of shut our curtains and shut our eyes and believe in what we're doing. And believe that we are being directed to change the world through the light that we send out. And it happens. It works.
Right.
But enough of us need to do it, and we need to do it daily.
Right.
We can't, in times such as this, when there is an uncertainty to the world, a great uncertainty to the world, we have to be careful that we don't add to that uncertainty, that we don't add to that negativity. And that we have to say to ourselves, that's the world you choose to see. This is the world I choose to see. In the name of God, in the name of the angelic host that I'm a part of, and in the name of restoring balance to this world. And we have to be resolute. We have to be strong. And as you've said, we have to do it. We're running out of time in which we can do this.
Right.
We need to set aside some time every day and work to change this world together. Work to send out the God light to change things.
Right. Well, kind of reminds me, you know, John Lennon, I remember in one of his interviews when they were talking about peace. And John had said, you know, if you want peace, put a sign in your window that says peace. You know?
Yes.
And I remember in one of his songs, he says, peace, you can have it if you want it.
Yes, yes. And you draw it towards yourself. Putting that sign in your window advertises what you're doing, so establishes you as a person that wants peace. But also, as you look at that sign from inside your window, you draw towards you what you believe to be true, always. That's the way you work as a spiritual being. So you are drawing towards you more of what you want to send out. So it's not a vicious circle, it's a happy circle.
Right.
You send out peace into the world. You draw peace to yourself, which makes you stronger to send more peace out into the world that draws more peace to yourself. That's the way that we work. But at the moment, what we're doing is drawing more negativity to ourselves, more upset to ourselves, more belief in the system to ourselves.
Right.
We are not at the mercy of the system, no matter what this world is saying to us. We as spiritual beings run the world. It's just that at the moment we choose to run the world negatively. We choose to run the world through violence, through power seeking. But we don't have to do that.
Right.
And the angelic beings that we are at core don't want to do that. If you dig deep down into your soul through meditation, you discover that you can't harm anybody. You don't want to harm anybody because you realize that everybody is part of you. And I know this upsets some people. I'm not part of that so-and-so that's creating this violence. Well, yes, you are. You're part of the same being. You're part of the divine. And the so-and-so that is creating the violence has lost his or her way. And they need your help and your love and your light more than other people.
Right.
So that you can set them back on the path so that they can remember who they are. Reconnect with their true self. And when they make that reconnection, they set aside that violence mm-hmm. in a split second. But they need enough light to be able to illuminate themselves and see that they are on the wrong path.
Exactly. Well, you know, you talk about, actually, before I even ask you another question, I know you've just about completed, or maybe you have completed, another book. I wanted to ask if all these protests and people really taking a stand, because it surely looks like we're at a point in history where everything hidden is being revealed.
Yes.
Does Joseph see that we can energize the field instead of continuing to let it collapse?
Yes. I mean, my point to that we are not yet at the end is that we have started a seventh book. We are three chapters in, and Joseph has given me the themes, not the actual words or the actual chapters, but the themes for 18 chapters so far.
Wow.
So the best will in the world, that's going to take me into next year.
Oh, boy.
And his theme, his theme all along has been that I'm giving you this information because this is a crucial time. I'm giving you this information because the power is with you, always has been with you, and you can change. And he's always said, I'm giving you this information because I don't waste my time. If the end was imminent and was irreversible, I wouldn't give you this information. I am giving it to you so that you can do something with it. However, he has, in one of his books, given us a warning and said, you know, I've given this information before.
Right.
I've given this information before, and society has fallen before. Society has ended before. And with a sort of wry smile, has said, I don't want to have to give it again.
Right.
So please listen to what I'm saying. There is a way out of your current difficulties, but it is the only way out. You cannot do it physically in the first instance.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do it spiritually. And then everything else, physically, materially, falls into place. But you have to create the loving atmosphere within which everything else can fall into place.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the greatest gifts we've got is personal responsibility. And that's another key motive in Joseph's communications, that we are responsible for our worlds, for our individual worlds, for our personal world, and for the entire world, because we're part of it.
Mm.
And a lot of people don't want to hear that.
No, of course not.
I'm not responsible for anything. Well, yes, you are. We're all equally responsible for the way this world is.
Exactly.
Because originally it's part...
Well, you know, that's why... Good, I'm sorry.
Sorry. Originally it's part of the angelic host. We created it.
Right.
Many years ago, more years ago than we can possibly think of in terms of time.
Well, that's a hard thing for people to even wrap their heads around, Michael. You know, I have a very gifted student, we'll call him, in Singapore. And he can remember, and he has not read any of your books, although now I have pointed him to your site, so I'm sure he'll be reading all of them. But without even doing that, I mean, I can tell this young man is so gifted that he said that he remembers being one of the creators of this planet.
Yes.
Other people, of course, have told him that he's crazy. But I was stunned by how intelligent he is for such a young man to know that.
Yes. And again, that shows that the ultimate power is with us,
mm-hmm.
with the divine within us, with what we truly are and were.
Mm-hmm.
We must ourselves, Maria. We do create worlds as angelic beings. We create worlds. And we create them as spheres of opportunity and experience.
Mm-hmm.
If you like, advanced playgrounds that we can pass through in order to gain more experience that we take back to the rest of the angelic host and to the Godhead. And so we are creators. We created this world. But as you know, and as Joseph has told us in the fall, we took a wrong turn. And we cut ourselves off consciously from that divine link that's within us. So we've forgotten all that. So no, he's not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He's remembered.
Right.
And being remembered, once again, become a part of the whole.
Mm-hmm.
That knowledge is there for us all to look at, but it's not knowledge that can be taught from outside. It's knowledge that has to be accessed from inside,
mm-hmm.
a knowing that comes from, again, meditation and becoming still. And many people balk at the word meditation. Oh, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. You've got to get to know yourself again. And you can't know yourself in the hustle and bustle and clamor and insanity of this world.
Mm.
You only know yourself in silence. And so sitting each day in silence and asking for the divine's protection and traveling within to your heart center is a vital exercise. Mm-hmm. It energizes you, it enables you to send out the light, and it gives you spiritual knowledge. Knowledge that you won't believe, because belief is something that you have to shore up. Belief infers that you have to shore something up all the while. With a belief, you've got to revisit it in your thoughts and see if you still believe it.
Right.
So it's not a concrete thing.
Right.
Through meditation, you will find that you don't believe things. You know things.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and once you know them, nobody can shake that knowledge. Because you know it from within, you've reconnected to it, and you know it to be an absolute truth. It ain't a belief. It's not a creed. It's a knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And that knowledge is there for the understanding, there to be accessed. But again, we've got to put the work in.
Absolutely.
We've got to put the work in.
Well, I think that, you know, I got to blame the New Age community for the misrepresentation and misteaching of what meditation is. And they get people's expectations up to where they fully expect they're going to see 3D movies and holograms and whatnot, and that they have to sit there, you know, painstakingly for hours at a time. Yeah. But, you know, as a teacher, I've taught people what I've always called it a 10-minute meditation, where you sit quietly for 5 minutes and, you know, just let your thoughts flow. You got questions or pondering anything, put it out to the universe. And then the second 5 minutes, just see what you feel, what you think, what you might smell. Write it down. Always record it. And then you kind of set up a two-way channel with whatever you want to call your higher self, the source, the force, God, doesn't matter. But I think that, you know, so many people get frustrated because of the way it was mistaught.
Yes, indeed.
And in this day and age, who has time to sit chanting for 8 hours? Nobody.
Absolutely.
You know, with time speeding up or the sense of time speeding up, you can get just as much in 10 minutes as you can get in 10 hours, as long as you make it a regular practice.
Yes. And it also powers your spiritual battery, as it were.
Absolutely.
So that at times during the day, if you need an answer to something or you need a spiritual instinctive view of something, you can very quickly slip into that meditative state for a couple of minutes and get your answer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're unsure as to how to act, your greater self will inform you as to how to act, which path to take, what to do, if to act, if not to act, to remain still or to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an incredibly valuable experience. But as you say, yes, don't expect great shining beings to stand in front of you and tell you what to do.
Right. It just makes people feel like they're failures. You know, you're not a failure. You can't fail at meditation. You can only fail at what you were improperly taught.
Yes. Yes. And we're all put together differently. So the experiences that we have when we're meditating are all different. One person might sense something. One person might hear something, one person might see something, one person might just enter into the silence and have a wonderful experience by experiencing that silence.
Right.
So it's tailored to you, but the important thing is to put that time in to make that link with your greater self, to start to be informed by the you that knows what to do, the greater you.
Mm-hmm.
And also, another benefit of meditation is to still your thoughts, to still that chorus, that chatter in your head all the time. Do this, don't do that. You want to do this, you don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Stop that. You, in meditation, you can see that as a passing parade, and you can watch your thoughts and say, good grief, they're not really me at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to be influenced by the thoughts that I don't want to be influenced by.
Right, exactly. Well, I like to just say out loud, I discount that thought, or I cancel that thought. And I just get busy with something else. Do you know what I mean? Just get it out of my head. But, you know, I think what you're talking about is super important, because there's a big difference between belief, believing something, and knowing. And, you know, I try to explain to people, you don't know when you trust, when you first stepped into that trust of your knowing, but it happens. You maybe never can put a finger on it, like never being able to tell when you're not young anymore. And then one day you just know. But for me, especially because I have to cover the mess that is the news on this planet, I trust my knowing. When I look at a story and everybody's promoting it and everybody's on the bandwagon, I don't look at it the same way. I separate myself, even if it's just for a few seconds, minutes, or a couple of days, until my knowing tells me whether it's true or not. And so far, so good. You know what I mean? Even though people have argued with me on the stands I take, I can't just say, well, I just know this. But I do tend to, you know, sort of look at the bigger picture. Then it just comes to me, whether a story is, you know, pardon the word, bullshit or not. It just, I can feel it. And I trust that. Yeah. And that's been one of my strongest points, I think, for surviving on air for almost 20 years now. So it serves me well. And the same way it serves me, this can work in everybody's life that's listening to us.
Absolutely. And a very important point that you've made there, Maria, too, to wait for the answer to something. If an answer isn't instant, don't act out of frustration. Don't act out of the physical mind's need, want to do something. Wait until you get that answer. Be still, step back from the situation, and allow your greater self to inform you as to what to do, if to do anything.
Exactly.
So again, a hugely valuable aspect of meditation is the ability to know what to act, what to do, when to do it or not to do it, and the ability to be able to, as you say, look at situations and see the truth in them. Not what you're being told, but what's really going on.
Right.
And that's very important at this time.
Well, you know, it was important to me, and I'm sure I had a lot of help from the other side right after 9/11 happened. Because when, you know, on 9/11, while the entire country and world was looking at the horror that took place, it just so happened that I was waiting for a piece of equipment to be able to do my show, and that piece of equipment was stuck in one of the grounded planes that day. So I didn't get the equipment I needed to be able to record, because back in those days, I didn't have the same kind of, you know, computer technology I have now. And in a way, I didn't get it for 3 or 4 days afterwards. Those 3 or 4 days gave me the time to contemplate, to sit in my medicine wheel, to think about what is the truth here. Now, had that not happened, I might have shot off like everybody else with rah, rah, sis, boom, bah, let's bomb the world. Although, you know, my intuition when I saw the film of the buildings, I immediately knew that it was a controlled demolition. I just didn't know anything else yet. So in a way, it was a blessing for me. That my stuff was stuck on a plane. Because back in those days, you had to really jimmy up a computer to get sound out. You know, but I still use that same technique. If I'm really stumped, you know, I know in From Here to Infinity, Joseph talks a lot about circles, the power of circles, circles within circles. Well, to me, the medicine wheel has always been circles within circles. I understand how it matches what Joseph talks about. I also thought about, you know, some of the biblical scriptures of, you know, God's chariot, you know, wheels within wheels, circles within circles. So even today, if something bizarre comes along, I'm not going to jump on it right away. And if I get stumped, I just go outside and I just look at my wheel and I'm just like, okay, let me know what I need to know on this because I'm stumped right now. So, like I said, so far so good. But this isn't magic. This is what you've been teaching for years. This is what so many have been teaching for years. Everybody can do this. They just don't remember. And whenever I use that word remember, I always hyphenate it. Remember yourself.
As you say, that there is no situation that we cannot have insight into. We are never left alone. We've got contact with our greater self when we need it, And we have contact with our divine self when we need it. And we have contact with the rest of the angelic host when we need it. But we have to tap into it on a regular basis in order to appreciate and understand the subtleties that come to us that instruct us as to how we should act, how we should feel, what we should do, when it's time to act, when it's time to do nothing. And we can't get through to those subtleties if we are totally immersed in this clamorous world. So there's a great need for silence. And meditation, we seem to be on a meditation theme tonight for some reason. I know we always let the show go in the direction it's supposed to go in. But meditation has benefits for us health-wise as well. We can reset our bodies. We can reset our minds. We can re-energize ourselves. We can send out healing and love and light to our family members, to our friends, to people we've met, to people we've never met. That connection with God is vital at this time. And I would urge, as a polite spiritual request, that the people who are listening, the listeners today, do investigate the power of meditation and do investigate that reconnection with their spiritual selves. It's vitally important.
Absolutely. Michael, we're going to take a short break. Stay with us. When Michael and I get back, we've got lots more. Stay tuned.
Spiritual Professor is a name some of Maria's students and clients refer to her as. After a consultation or class with Maria, some have gone as far as calling her the Force or the Oracle. Maria is simply a woman, a mother, and grandmother who was born with a keen natural intuition. She's got a lot of life experience and she's a constant student herself. This is what qualifies her to help those who are on their journey and need some direction. Some students visit her in person, others on the phone or on Skype. Maria will work with you on your own timeline, guiding you down your best possible path. You can learn to balance the mind, body, and spirit in what seems to be a world gone mad. As David Icke says about Maria, Maria's the real deal, extremely intuitive but with her feet firmly on the ground, out there, but down here, no bullshit. Whatever you need in this part of your journey is what Maria will help you with. She'll give you the tools you need to make the rest of your life the best of your life. See private consultations with Maria on the site at meria.net and pick the one that resonates with you. You are not alone. The professor is in at meria.net. Now back to the show.
Okay, welcome back to The Bigger Picture with Michael Rakir and myself. You can check out his work at josephspeaks.com. I have to tell you that I love every one of his books. I highly recommend them. I was rereading some of the stuff that I highlighted in your last book, From Here to Infinity. And you've got some pretty interesting stuff in here that I think would be a little hard for people to wrap their minds around, but it makes sense. And one of the things I have to tell you is whenever I talk to people, especially clients or people that say they're spiritually aware, and I tell them, in your words, never come back, that reincarnation is a trap, it's amazing how hard they will fight to defend reincarnation.
Wow. And what do they say? What's the essence of their reason?
We're here because it's karma. We have to keep coming back here. What about the people we leave behind? You're wrong. It's almost like letting people know that voting for Trump was the wrong vote. They get just as upset when you take reincarnation the way they were taught it away from them.
Reincarnation always bothered me as a young man growing up. I could never understand why, with the whole of this physical universe alone to explore, we would come back time and time and time and time and time again to this particular backwater, if you like, of the universe. It didn't make any sense to me. And the other thing that didn't make any sense to me, and which Joseph went on to explain in far greater detail than I could ever understand, is free will. If we have free will, and that's a constant in the universe, and it is, why doesn't free will apply to reincarnation? It doesn't make sense. You can't opt out and say, well, that percentage is not governed by free will. And so it follows that if everything that we do, the situations that we come into, and the areas that we come into, are as a result of free will, then reincarnating is free will as well. And Joseph talks about karma. Yes, there is karma. But karma hangs about here, as it were, as the patterns of the past that pull on us as the people that we've been when we reincarnate. In other words, we're free from it once we get to the other side and have worked out of our system the challenges that we need to work out of our system in order to progress spiritually. We're free from it, but not when we come back here, because the record of what we've done and the record of how we've acted and the people that are around us are pulled back into our sphere of influence when we reincarnate. We reactivate those patterns, those vibrations, and pull them towards ourselves. The problem with many people, you would think from our point of view, why would anybody want to reincarnate? Is because they haven't invested sufficient time in investigating what comes next. They're not prepared for any kind of spiritual reality beyond this one. And so when they arrive, as it were, on the other side, on the higher side of life, or relatively higher side of life, they're not interested in moving forwards, and many of them don't even see the reality that's around them. They feel the pull of the earth, they feel that they've got unfinished business with the earth, and they want to come back. And there are wonderful sweet spirits who surround them and say, that's not a good idea, really. You know, have you considered going forwards? And they say, no, I want to go back. I want to sort out the business this time that I didn't complete. I want to sort out the relationship that I got wrong. I can do it better this time. I enjoy the beer. You know, I enjoy the TV. I enjoy the holidays. I enjoy the cars. I want to go back. And because there's free will, at a certain stage, they are allowed to come back. But there are consequences to coming back. And the consequences are you reignite the circumstances that were around you in past lives so that you've got similar challenges to go through that you went through in past lives, i.e. karma.
Right.
And also you've put yourself back into this terrible, violent, power-seeking, corrupt world. Not with a view to changing it, but with a view to going through a similar experience to the one that ones, plural, that you've had before.
Right.
Please, folks.
The hell with that. To hell with that. You know how many people I continuously recommend, because, especially people that argue like that, how many of them I recommend get your book, Your Life After Death? Especially if it is for a person that I know is a do-nothing couch potato. You know, it's good for them to know that, you know, they're going to create another little motel filled with other couch potatoes to fill to fill their ego until they wake up on the other side. And because there's so much fear of death out there today, especially, you know, how close we are to, you know, a nuclear war, World War III, you know, we've got bloviating idiots running the world. I keep putting out memes and posts of not fearing death, because if you're really spiritually progressed, you understand that death is just a doorway out of here.
Yes, yes. I mean, you can't, you're not leaving behind people, because those people come to that doorway themselves. The greater reality is where everyone ends up, not here. I'd like somebody to point to one person on Earth that hasn't left here, you know, that hasn't in 100 years or 150 years, hasn't left here.
Right.
Is there a record anywhere of anyone that is still alive and has always been alive here?
No. Although you just had, you just had that lady in Italy, though. She lived, what, 117 years that died this week?
Yes.
That
yes.
was pretty amazing. Yes. I felt sorry for her, to tell you the truth.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, God, 117 years of this, what she's seen.
But the reality is that we all, we don't all ignore, but many of us ignore, is that we're going to die.
I know.
And I don't mean that in a negative way. You've just said it's a positive thing, and indeed it is.
Right.
We have to accept that fact.
Right.
If we accepted that fact, we would live differently. And all the people in power around the world, all the people in dictatorships around the world, all the people that are fighting for so many things that they think are so important,
right,
haven't got that eye to the future. You know,
no, they're locked. Yeah,
20
they're...
or 30 years,
right,
you won't be here.
Exactly.
All the chaos that you're creating, you won't be here.
Right, unless you're dumb enough to come back.
Create a better place.
Uh-huh. Well, you
sorry,
know,
Maria.
I said, unless you're dumb enough to come back. Listen, I know I'm not going to be here in 20 or 30 years, but it doesn't stop me from doing my work to attempt to make it better for whoever is here 20 or 30 years
Absolutely.
From now.
Okay?
Absolutely. Otherwise, I could be very selfish and just say, you know what, I'm going to retire like everybody else. Maybe I'll play golf every day. But that's not my soul's purpose. You know, when I leave here, I want to go to a higher place. I don't ever want to come back here. You know, I want to leave this planet with clean hands and say, wow, I did everything I could accomplish and plus some. You know, it's interesting because today I found a meme that I posted on my reading site on Facebook. I always like to put up something spiritual, something encouraging. And it was a quote by, of all people, Jack Lemmon. Do you remember Jack Lemmon, the actor?
Oh, yes, indeed, yeah.
And it was a simple quote, and I was so blown away because I never thought of him as, you know, a person that would even think in spiritual terms, which is just because I guess he was an actor. But the quote is very simple. It says, death ends a life, not a relationship. And I think that people that want to keep coming back to Earth for their relationships, their families, are almost in the same boat as people that sit around somebody's deathbed and prevents them from dying because their energy is so needy to that person who's trying to leave.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. If the love link is there, then we don't lose our relationships ever. I mean, there are deaths to relationships here on Earth.
Right.
It's nothing to do with anybody physically dying.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a love link with someone in order for that link to carry on through the volition of both people involved, whether that's a partnership, whether that's a brother or sister or friend, there has to be that love link. That's what we're about. Any connection that we have with those that we are fond of is a love link. It's love. It's God. It's the angelic essence within us. And that love link is eternal. Once it's there, it don't go anywhere.
Right.
And we also have to remember that we are, our consciousness is masked. And that at night, if we haven't put ourselves into a drunken stupor or a drugged stupor or whatever else, you know, haven't eaten too much,
right,
if we are able to leave our physical bodies, which we do for a time each night, still connected to them by the umbilical cord that that connects us to all the vital systems, we can travel, we can discuss things with our loved ones, we can see them again. But there's no separation. The only separation is here, which brings us back to why would we want to come here?
Right.
This place masks our memories of self, our memories of being with the people that we love. It takes that away from us because of the way that we formatted this particular reality. So we're not leaving anybody, and we certainly never ever lose anybody that we love. We're always with them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, there is something in your book that I know is probably going to be another mind bender for some people. And I think it's chapter 12, where you talk about memory and you say memory doesn't exist. Now, that's a loaded question and a loaded statement right there.
Yes.
Now, when people, because when people lose their memories, you know, whether it's Alzheimer's or whatever disease, they don't stop existing. People say, well, your memory is who you are. So you lose who you are. Is that even a possibility?
No, because what you are losing, what you appear to be losing, is the physical mind, the computer's ability, the computer that's in your head, its ability to access files that are based on physical experience. But those files that are based on physical experience are only a physical representation of the experience itself. And the experience itself is not only always with you, but it is always alive with you in the measure that you experienced it in the first place. So on a spiritual level, once you've got to the spiritual realms, you can examine your memories on earth and you can access them again and relive them if you so wish. And that's an important statement, if you so wish, because there are certain memories that you won't want to revisit or will want to cleanse, as it were, let go of, forgive, transmute. And that's why we go through a life review when we get to the other side. At some point, we have to look at our lives and we have to look at the sore points as well as the good points. And we have to look at the sore points and think, oh, well, how do I sort that out? That's holding me back. That experience, those memories are holding me back. Are they holding me back because I'm bitter about them? Mm-hmm. Are they holding me back because I can't forgive someone or can't forgive myself? So we are able to access all our memories, all our experiences, but also are able to work on them and learn from them. So we don't lose ourselves. All that you see happening in the case of dementia or some of these terrible diseases that rob us of physical memories is that the computer is malfunctioning. But we're not the computer. We are the person with our hands on the keyboard.
Exactly.
We're the person that boots up the computer. And when we die, when we leave this place, we access our true selves. And as an angelic being, we have the ability to access all our experiences, not just our memories from this particular life, but our memories from all our lives. And we can go back to them in so much detail that sometimes we'll think, gosh, I wish I didn't have those memories.
Right, right. Not to worry, the government's working on a pill to erase your memories.
Oh, God.
So I'm sure that's going to be not used for anything positive. When you talk about memories, you know, and you see people that are literally out of it, okay? We use that expression if someone is shut down, you know, an autistic child that's just locked inside their body or a person with Alzheimer's, dementia. We use those expressions. Oh, she's really out there today. They're really out of it.
Yeah.
Do people really understand, and is it possible that those beings are out there and not in their body computer?
Yes, absolutely. I've probably mentioned this before, but I once went to a hairdresser's, and her boyfriend was in a coma. And as I was sitting there having my hair cut, he turned up. And he talked about how she treated him specifically when she visited the hospital. He talked about having met his grandfather and described his grandfather. And he talked about the specific type of music that he liked. I eventually told the girl who was cutting my hair, and she was shocked because all those facts were correct. Mm-hmm. And he subsequently made a full recovery. So at the time that he was in a hospital bed, as we would see it, with no physical consciousness or a physical consciousness that was out there or locked in, his consciousness was anything but. And that he had access to the spiritual realms, and he also had access to the physical realm. So things are not what they seem. And sometimes you can see people standing by their bodies. Mm-hmm. Jane and myself have had instances where we've seen each other astrally coming back into our bodies at night, you know, crossing the room in solid form and getting back into our bodies. I've seen that happen with my grandfather when I was a child. So again, the physical body, the mind, the physical mind is not the whole story. And to a certain extent, when the physical mind is locked off and when the physical body is locked off, we are freed from that and given some of our spiritual freedom. We don't waste time, and we're certainly not inactive.
Right. Well, you know, you also go on to say that all experience is now. So when you think about memory, you know, it reminds me of when I was a little girl. I think I might have told you this story. After I had my near-death experience, I remember playing on the streets of Brooklyn with my sisters. We were all little girls. I was probably about 5 or 6. And I started laughing. And they asked me, why are you laughing? And I looked at them and I said, because right now we're old ladies sitting together laughing on a porch. And it was like I could see all the different dimensions after I came back from that experience. They couldn't get it. They couldn't understand. But at that early age, I knew that everything existed at the same time.
Yes.
But that's another very hard, hard lesson for people to wrap their heads around.
Well, we're so tied into this thing that we've got on our wrist, and I've got one on at the moment. We have a watch on our wrist that convinces us that something is happening. But all that is happening is that we are adding to our experiences. There's no such thing as time.
Right.
Time doesn't exist. Experience exists. And we try to make sense of experience linearly within the confines of our physical bodies that we are shoehorned into as angelic beings as a result of the fall. In our angelic state, we can travel backwards and forwards from experience to experience and bring out of those experiences what we need to enhance, to further enhance future experiences. But future is only a relative term. It's a difficult thing to put into words, as Joseph would say.
Right.
But everything does exist now.
Exactly.
There's only now. The point of power is now. The point at which we can make a difference is now. And we have access to everything that seemingly has happened to us in the past. And as you say, we have access also to what is happening to us seemingly in the future. And back to meditation, because that time spent in meditation daily allows us to free ourselves from the constricts of perceived time.
Exactly.
It allows us... Sorry?
You know, I have a lot of people that I know that are obsessed, I mean obsessed, Michael, with doing past life research on themselves. I mean, they'll spend all kinds of money, all kinds of years on this. And usually when they get around to calling me for a session, you know, and I listen to some of the stuff, I just tell them, wouldn't you rather do a future life progression? To see, you know, so you're assured that life goes on. Because, you know, for me, I always enjoyed that. You know, I've already seen a couple of my future lives, and thank God they're not here. But they're in that place you talk about with extra good colors and all kinds of love and beauty. But, you know, it's trappings, and people have to realize that if you still are in a point where you're fearing death, you're not progressing spiritually.
Yes.
And that's not a judgment. I just feel that that's really the case. Because today there's so much fear out there. And it's like, what are you afraid of? I'd be more afraid of being stuck on this planet for eternity as they're trying to make us all live forever. This wouldn't be my dream.
And seeing the same patterns play out time and time again, as they have done for thousands of years.
Exactly.
If you want to stay here, at least try and change it.
Exactly.
Do something to change it.
Right. Don't participate in the madness. Well, I'm looking forward to your next book. I know it's going to probably take a whole lot out of you physically. But this is what you choose to do with your life. And I'm glad you do. Better you than me. I'm busy enough.
We're both doing our bit. We're both doing what we can, Maria.
Well, you know what? I look at the different pieces that people I consider are real light workers and the workload everybody's taken on in different areas. And it's all perfect just the way it is. Well, Michael, thank you so much, and I can't wait to do our next show. I had two pages of notes for you today, but I'll be saving them because I guess the show always goes where it needs to go.
Look forward to the next show, Maria, and a great delight as always to be on the show tonight.
Always my pleasure. You take good care. Hugs.
And you. Take care. God bless, Maria.
You Bye-bye. Too. Bye. Michael Rakia, check out his work, josephspeaks.com. What a break from this reality this show is. Anyway, thanks for listening. Hope you got something new out of it for yourself. And I'll be back tomorrow with the news. And Friday I'll be on Chuck O'Chelly's show, so you're going to want to tune in from 5 to 7 Pacific time. And thanks again, and I'll see you guys.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.